Hi, Rebels. This Financial Literacy Month, Rebel Girls teamed up with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families, to bring you everything you need to be smart with your money and build healthy habits that last a lifetime. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to make smart choices with every penny, whether you're saving for something special or learning to invest. Greenlight gives kids the power to be independent, and grown-ups can trust that their kids have money wherever they are. Sign up at greenlight.com/rebelgirls to get your first month at no cost and start building money confidence for life.
Once upon a time, there was a girl who inspired millions of immigrants to march out of the shadows. Her name is Teresa. Teresa grew up in Northwest Chicago, where she lived in a basement apartment with her mom, dad, and little brother. She loved her family, but life wasn't easy. Teresa's parents, who were from South Korea, had lost everything in the aftermath of the Korean War. They had fled to Brazil, where Teresa was born, and started a successful clothing business. However, one day, a family member stole all their money. Left with nothing and no one to turn to, Teresa's parents decided to move to the United States. Teresa's mom sold her most prized possession, her wedding ring, and used the money to buy plane tickets. I'm Lorene Powell Jobs, and this is Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, a fairy tale podcast about the rebel women who inspire us. This week, Teresa Lee. In 1985, when Teresa was 2 years old, her parents took her on a plane bound for the U.S., where they believed they could create a better life for their family. But in Chicago, that better life seemed out of reach. The family's apartment had no furniture, no heat, and no hot water. Teresa shivered through the cold winters, and at other times, hunger gnawed at her belly. Then, one day, when Teresa was around 7 years old, her family received an incredible gift. Teresa's father was a minister, and when one parishioner saw how they were living, she filled their apartment with furniture, including an upright piano. Teresa was drawn to the instrument immediately. She played piano at the church before, and when her fingertips glided across the cool keys, her troubles always melted away. Teresa practiced on her new piano for hours and hours. The better she became, the more her mind filled with images of herself on a stage, playing to crowds and becoming a successful musician. A bold vision grew in her head. Teresa would help her family escape poverty. She would help them stay safe, and the piano would help her do it. By the time Teresa was 9, she'd memorized almost 500 hymns and had become the pianist at her church. But when she wasn't at the piano, Teresa was determined to attract as little attention as possible. From the outside, she just looked shy. She didn't have a lot of friends, and she didn't whisper secrets on the playground. This was because her family had a very big secret, a scary secret. One that, if someone found out, could break her family apart. She had found out about it when she was just 7 years old. Her father once called Teresa and her brother into the living room for a family meeting. "We are undocumented," he said, his voice grave. "We don't have this paper that says we're allowed to live here. There's this thing called a green card and a citizenship, and we have neither." Teresa's father said that if the U.S. government found out, their family would be separated. Teresa would be sent to Brazil. Her parents would be sent to Korea. And her brother, who was born in the U.S., would go into the foster care system. Fear shot through Teresa's body like lightning. What if she lost her family or was sent to a country she didn't even remember? She promised her dad she wouldn't tell anyone, ever. From then on, Teresa was haunted by nightmares. In her dreams, police knocked down their door, stormed into their apartment, and tore her family apart. Often, she woke up drenched in cold sweat. Teresa withdrew from friends and avoided authority figures like teachers and the police. She wanted to be like the other kids in her class, but her immigration status was a constant barrier. For example, when Teresa was in seventh grade, she was so smart, her teacher said she should go straight to high school. But when she brought the paperwork home to her father, he tore it to pieces. "You're undocumented," he said. "You can't stick out." Teresa was devastated. And then a more serious injustice happened. One winter when Teresa was 14, her brother was hit by a car. At the hospital, her father told the police it was her brother's fault, even though it wasn't. He didn't want to press charges against the driver or go to court, because if he did, the police would find out they were undocumented. So instead, he lied. Teresa's brother recovered, but because of that lie, Teresa's family nearly went bankrupt trying to pay for his medical bills. This felt terribly wrong, and Teresa longed to do something. But she had no idea what that something was. Teresa had taught herself piano, but as she got older, she wanted a teacher. So at 16 years old, Teresa applied to the Merritt School of Music. She received a full scholarship and studied with world-class musicians. It was a big deal. Soon after, one of her mentors and teachers, Anne Monaco, called Teresa into her office. "What colleges are you planning on applying to?" she asked. "I'm not going to college," Teresa said sheepishly. Teresa looked at her hands. She wanted to tell Anne the real reason why she wasn't filling out applications. Since Teresa was undocumented, some universities wouldn't accept her. And for those that would, it would be nearly impossible to get a scholarship. But then she remembered her father's words and the danger that awaited them if anyone found out. So Teresa remained silent. Meanwhile, Anne printed off 10 college applications. "Fill these out and bring them back to me tomorrow," she said. Teresa took the stack of papers home and filled them out. The next day, she handed them to Anne. As Anne reviewed the applications, she saw a specific answer was blank on each one. Teresa's social security number, a number the government gives to citizens and undocumented immigrants. She told Teresa to go home and ask her parents for it. Again, Teresa took the stack of papers home, but she didn't show them to her parents. She knew she didn't have that number. The next day, Teresa simply took the stack of papers back to Anne. "Why is this empty?" Anne asked again. Teresa's eyes filled with tears. She felt like the walls were closing in. As Anne looked on, confused, Teresa told her their secret. She was undocumented. "Please don't report me to the police," Teresa said. Anne promised not to tell the police. And then she promised Teresa something else. Together, they'd do something about this problem.
I have to tell you about my friend Penelope. She is hilarious. She only eats cheese doodles and canned beans, and she loves to sing and fly through walls. Wait, did I tell you that Penelope is my imaginary friend? Well, she is, but she's totally real to me. Anywho, Penelope and I are very excited because there's a new movie coming out on May 17 all about imaginary friends. It's called IF, which stands for Imaginary Friends. Pretty cool, am I right? IF is so much fun, with lovable fuzzy giants and bright new galaxies. It stars Kaylee Fleming as Bee, a girl who discovers that she can see everyone else's IFs. Meanwhile, Cal, played by Ryan Reynolds, can also see IFs. Together, they team up and go on a magical adventure to reconnect forgotten IFs with their kids. IF is from the brilliant mind of writer-director John Krasinski. It also stars John Krasinski, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Maya Rudolph, Jon Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Emily Blunt, Awkwafina, and Steve Carell, just to name a few. It celebrates the incredible power of curiosity and creativity, and it's definitely a laugh-out-loud adventure for the whole family. IF comes out in theaters starting May 17th and is guaranteed to knock your socks off. What? Oh, Penelope says she wears two pairs of socks at all times. Also, that imaginary friends get limitless refills on popcorn. So join us in the theater on May 17. Bring your imaginary friends too.
Anne thought hard about how she could help Teresa. Eventually, she started calling and writing letters to Dick Durbin, a U.S. senator from Illinois. Moved by Teresa's story, Senator Durbin decided to write a private bill on Teresa's behalf that would offer her legal residency. But once word got out about this bill, an unexpected thing happened. Young people from all over started contacting Senator Durbin, sometimes by phone, sometimes by letter. At other times, they'd covertly seek him out in the parking lot after he finished work. They told him their stories. They were immigrants who were brought to the U.S. as children, too. Could he help them? Senator Durbin quickly realized that this issue went way beyond Teresa's case. Inspired by these young people's stories, he collaborated with Senator Orrin Hatch and other allies to develop the Development, Relief, and Education for Alien Minors Act. The 2001 DREAM Act, as it was called, was legislation that would offer permanent residency to qualifying immigrants who were brought to the United States as children. The DREAM Act gained massive support from both Democrats and Republicans. Even President George W. Bush promised he'd sign the bill into law. After so many years of living in the shadows, hope and support for undocumented immigrant youth like Teresa was just a vote away. The Senate was scheduled to vote on the DREAM Act on September 12, 2001. Teresa was planning to play a short piano concert for the senators, and then she would testify about the bill. At that time, Teresa was living in New York City. Anticipating that the DREAM Act would pass, the Manhattan School of Music had admitted Teresa on a full scholarship. On the morning of September 11th, Teresa tried to catch a taxi to go to the airport, but there were no taxis to be found. Soon after, she discovered that her flight was canceled. In fact, all flights were canceled. Something terrible had happened. Two planes had crashed into the World Trade Center in New York City. The news was calling it a terrorist attack. Many people died. Like so many Americans, Teresa was horrified. Who would do such a thing, she wondered. As Congress responded to this crisis, the DREAM Act was hastily pushed aside. At the same time, another terrible thing happened. Suddenly, people were afraid of outsiders, including immigrants. Across the country, states passed laws making life even harder for undocumented immigrants. Raids on immigrant communities increased, and undocumented immigrants were deported from the country in large numbers. Just like in Teresa's nightmares, families were torn apart, and immigrant communities were left missing loved ones and friends. She wondered how she could go on, how she could survive in a country that didn't want her. She even considered deporting herself to Brazil. As she dwelt on her pain and losses, though, Teresa came to a realization. When she had told Senator Durbin her story, she thought she was alone. In fact, she thought her family was the only undocumented family in the United States. But she was mistaken. She remembered the students who'd approached Senator Durbin in parking lots, who whispered their stories. And she remembered the people who, on hearing her situation, wanted to help her find a path to legal residency. "I have to keep sharing my story," she realized, "because there are others out there like me, because we deserve to come out of the shadows." And so she did. This young woman, who'd grown up trying to make herself as quiet as possible, began to speak out. Teresa spoke at demonstrations, shared her story on the news, and shouted for justice and immigration reform at rallies. Thousands joined her, and then millions. These undocumented youth, who called themselves Dreamers after the Dream Act, bravely came out and built what has become a national movement. Soon, the plight of the Dreamers was at the forefront of local and national conversations about immigration. But more than that, these Dreamers, who'd so long been trapped in silence, realized they were not alone, and they never would be again. The Dream Act has been reintroduced in Congress several times since 2001, but it has yet to pass. In 2012, President Obama signed an executive order called Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, which offers temporary protection from deportation for qualified undocumented immigrants who came to the U.S. as children. Although this was a victory for many immigrant youth, DACA continues to be challenged by its political opponents. Yet thanks to the hard work of Dreamers like Teresa, public support for undocumented youth has grown. Today, almost 75% of all Americans support letting Dreamers stay in the U.S. Teresa became a U.S. citizen in 2010 after marrying American jazz trombonist Danny Kirkham. When she finally held the piece of paper in her hand that said she was a citizen, she cried for hours. Now a professional pianist and teacher, Teresa can still be found behind a piano, her fingers weaving notes together into beautiful melodies and harmonies. When she's not performing, teaching, or raising her three children, Teresa continues to fight for her Dreamer siblings and other undocumented immigrants by demonstrating, advocating for immigration reform, and sharing her story. As Teresa said in one speech, "Telling the stories of real people is what will inspire others to take action and eventually bring down the injustice in the system."
Today's episode was hosted by Lorene Powell Jobs. Lorene is a businesswoman, executive and founder of Emerson Collective. Get to know Lorene in our interview episode, available now. This podcast is a production of Rebel Girls and Boom Integrated, a division of John Marshall Media. It's based on the book series, Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls. Our executive producer is Elena Favilli, Jess Wolfe, and Katie Springer. This season was produced by John Marshall Cherry, Sarah Storm, and Robin Lai. Corinne Peterson is our production manager. This episode was written by Alexis Stratton and edited by Mighty Vu. Proofread by Ariana Rosas. Original theme music was composed and performed by Elettra Barjaki, who has also sound designed this episode. Mattia Marcelli was the sound mixer. Until next time, stay tuned and stay rebel.
Can't get enough of Rebel Girls? Well, luckily, the Rebel Girls app is now completely free. That's right. You can listen to the entire library of goodnight stories for Rebel Girls ad-free. Plus, check out the app's cool features, like activities, trivia, custom playlists, and more. All parent-trusted and kids-safe. Find out more at rebelgirls.com/audio and download the Rebel Girls app today. Thanks for listening.